Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of Equitable's award-winning podcast, Life with Insight. We bring you state-of-the-art information on topics affecting the financial services industry delivered by some of the most well-known and respected experts in our field. My name's Tom McGlynn of Equitable's Advanced Markets Group, and I'll be your host today. Joining me for this presentation is one of those experts, Doug Grady, an elite pro speaker. Doug will be talking about a topic that affects us all in the industry, productivity for insurance and financial advisors. He'll identify the fundamental strategies and mindset we need to have to reclaim focus and increase our productivity. Let me give you a little background on Doug. Doug Grady began his career as an agent for Aegon and became one of their youngest general agents. He's been studying and teaching the pathways to personal potential for over 20 years. Doug's a TEDx speaker, a highly requested keynote speaker, and the author of The Ripple Effect. He also developed the life-changing program, 40 Days of Focus. Doug gives a significant portion of his time and money to local and global causes. He's been on several mission trips, most recently to Ecuador, where he was part of a 12-man team building homes for the poorest of the poor. His companies, writings, trainings, and music are designed with one purpose: to help people reach their God-given potential. Very impressive, Doug. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, Doug, we're all challenged with multiple daily responsibilities, not only at home, but at work as well. And that's really been especially true over the past year with the pandemic keeping most of us home and trying to balance our personal and professional lives. We know what we have to do, but life happens and our priorities get a little blurred. What are your top three strategies to reclaim clarity and focus?
Yeah, that's funny, Tom. I was just reminded of speaking for Equitable in Colorado and Mark Neely's group. I used this example, but it was a little bit foreign to them. It's an example of the Waffle House. I don't know if they allow Waffle Houses in Colorado, but I grew up in the Southeast, and there's a lot of Waffle Houses in the Southeast, and they have a side dish at the Waffle House called the Waffle House Hash Brown, and there's a lot of ways to get it, but the one that they've trademarked is called Scattered, Smothered, and Covered. And so I use this analogy of how do we get less scattered, less smothered, less covered. There's always something clamoring for our attentions, financial advisors getting to the next level. What is it that I've got to take care of, the latest crisis problem email? And so the three strategies that I found to be really effective in working with just the disarray that is our lives is, number one, when it comes to this example of being scattered, smothered, and covered, one is to take something off your plate. There's never enough time to do everything, but there's always enough time to do the things that are important. So much of life is not doing more. It's looking at what can I do less of or not at all. You know, our viewers can't see us right now, but if you've ever seen me on stage, in fact, I've done 6 or 7 engagements with your great company of Equitable, and at times I've had a full-on beard, at times I've been completely clean-shaven, and usually nothing in between. But when the facial beard comes out, someone will inevitably say something very profound like, dude, you're growing a beard. But this is really only partly true because, you know, you don't grow a beard, Tom. You do nothing, and the beard actually grows. You have to do something to actually stop the growth of a beard. And similarly, we do things that stop our personal and professional growth. We engage in activities that don't need to be engaged in. So part of life is taking something off our plate, doing less or not at all of those things which need not to be done. So it's identifying what those things are and setting a plan to do less of that to allow for room of the stuff that really moves the needle, which brings us to strategy number two, and that's get a bigger plate. It's engaging in the high value activities, the things that over a period of 30, 60, 90 days actually expand our capacity, make us more powerful, stronger, more efficient, more effective, both in and outside of the business. And so, you know, that's much of what I teach and much of what I believe is that there's always one simple discipline, one simple strategy, something that we're not doing that if we did it would intensify, would sort of increase, would expand our effectiveness, would allow us to become bigger, better, more effective than we are right now. So number one is take something off our plate. Number two is get a bigger plate, and sticking with this analogy of our Waffle House hash brown, getting unscattered, unsmothered, uncovered is very simply one bite at a time. And what this means is carving out measurable minimum standards that move the needle in any area of life, including but not limited to the area of life called business. How do we move business in the direction that we want to move it in? So get a bigger plate is number two. Number one is take something off our plate. Number three is one bite at a time.
Can you expand on one bite at a time as it relates to performance standards?
Yeah, that's a good question, Tom. But one bite at a time, we can really unpack this and go pretty deep. This is carving out minimum measurable standards so that we're always moving the needle in the area of life that we say we want to move it in. So I sometimes refer to this as the magic in the minimum. Maybe some people have called it the miracle in the minimum. And it's really looking at, first of all, taking inventory. What is it that I want to experience more of and less of? We have a whole process that we bring our coaching clients through this, but it could start from looking at, what are the results that I want more of? What are the measurable, quantifiable differences in my life that I want more of? We can look at the business. What type of practice do I want more of? The clients I want more of, the products I want more of, the partners, the people I want to work more of. And by design or by contrast, what do I want to do less of in my business? What clients, what products, what people do I want less of in the business? We can look at emotions. What are the emotional experiences I want more of? And part of that is looking at what we want to experience less of. I want less stress, less anxiety, less fear, less anger, less frustration. So more peace, more love, more joy. And looking at those things, sometimes I look at experiences. I want to be more at the beach and less in the city. I want to have more travel time and less stagnant time. What are those more and lesses? And ultimately, those things will lead to choices. Choices that I can do more of and do less of to be consistent with the experience of life that I say I want more and less of that I'm not always experiencing. So if I'm looking to do something consistent with that, first of all, it's got to be more or less than what I'm currently doing. So this is criteria number one for setting up a minimum standard. I just look at the standard I have in any area of life. I could look at the standard I have, for example, in my health and fitness. We all have a standard for health and fitness. So I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'll ask our listeners just to take inventory. What's the average number of physical times you physically exercised on average over the last 6 weeks? And we'll just make a definition of 20 minutes minimum. How many times have you exercised over the last 6 weeks? You'll get a standard for that. It could be zero. It could be seven. It's probably somewhere between how many days on average, somewhere between zero to seven, you'll have a number. So if you want to move the needle physically, let's say that your number is two. What's more than two? Well, pretty simple. Three is more than two. 22 minutes is more than 20 minutes. So if we want to move the needle, it's got to be a little bit more than what we're doing. Or in the case of health and nutrition, it might be a little bit less. Less what, for example? Maybe less certain types of food. There's three major sources that we typically are not benefiting from long-term in the nutrition category. They tend to be in the area of dairy, processed sugar, and gluten. If we can minimize those things, they'll have an impact on our health. And so it's just looking at the more or less is criteria number one when it comes to a performance standard. I'm reminded years ago, Tom, that I was actually working out with a trainer at the time, and this very colorful young man who I'm still friends with to this day, kind of a street guy, is from Philadelphia, very proud of his street heritage. And his name was Choppa. And don't call him Chopper, it's Choppa. And Choppa had a very unique way of communicating. One day I was kind of hobbling around. I had bone on bone on both of my hips at the time, but we'd work around this through our workouts. One day I was really struggling, and Choppa said to me, he said, "Yo, man, what's your problem?" And I said, "Well, Choppa, you know I have no cartilage on my left hip." And Choppa looked at me and he said, "Well, you need more cartilage? Eat more of that." And I paused for a second and said, "What?" He said, "Eat more of that." And the translation there was, eat more cartilage. And so I actually did this. I started eating more cartilage. Every time I ate chicken, I'd eat the cartilage in the chicken. I ordered shark cartilage online. This is really a thing, believe it or not. You can look this up. It's a thing called shark cartilage. I ate all the cartilage that I could get, and roughly 2 years later, I had double hip replacement surgery. But that's not the point, Tom. The point, Tom, is that there's a lot of value in this. There's a lot of wisdom in this phrase, eat more of that. If you want to experience more of a certain experience of life, many times we've had this experience in the past, and we've had a discipline, we've had a structure, we've had choices that are consistent with supporting that experience of life. So we want to look at more doing. What can we do more of? Many times we just look at, well, when was I experiencing this that I want more of now? And what was I doing then? It might have been more focused dedication to building the business. It might be more quality time with important people in your life. It might be more personal development. But when I experienced this in the past, what was I doing more of? What was I doing less of? How can I incorporate that right now? So that's criteria number one for making a performance standard. Number two is it's got to be manageable. Manageable, which means it's doable. So rarely would I recommend to a coaching client going from 0 to 100 overnight. Maybe it's 0 to 1, maybe it's 0 to 2, maybe it's 2 to 4, maybe it's 4 to 7. But something that is manageable / doable in the inevitable uncertainties of life. A minimum standard is not an ideal standard. A minimum standard is just that. It's a drop dead line in the sand, non-negotiable. Come hell or high water, I will do X. That is my minimum manageable standard. So those are the two criteria. First and foremost, this third one is one that a lot of people skip or don't think about or just leave sort of unspoken. And this last one, Tom, is called medium term, which means it has a beginning and it has an end. My definition of medium term is no less than 21 days, no more than 90 days. And the reason for this is it locks the brain onto a track. It's very difficult for me to say I'll do this or be this for 365 days of the year. It feels mentally like forever. This is one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons why New Year's resolutions are ineffective is because the term is too long. But I can lock in 21 days, 30 days. We have a program called 40 Days of Focus. We've had actually 300 or 400 folks from Equitable do this program, maybe 500 through the years. It's just one simple choice. It's done every day for 40 consecutive days. There's 66-day business programs. There's P90X. This is a 90-day program. There's a 21-day reboot. There's a now there's a hard 75, which yeah, you guessed it's 75 days. All of these programs, they have a track to run on. It's 21, 30, 40, 60, 66, 90. Rarely will you see one that's 100, 120, or otherwise. And there's a reason for that, because I can lock that in for 40 days. So let me give you an example, Tom. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation like this with someone close to you. A couple of New Year's Eves ago, my wife decides that we should do this 30-day cleanse. Of course we should. Sounds like a great idea. And there's some mores on this, and there's some lesses on this. And on the more side, let's start with the lesses. I think it was there's no milk, so no dairy of any type, no processed sugar of any type, no gluten of any type. Now, have you ever taken milk, sugar, and gluten out of your diet completely for any period of time, Tom?
I would die if I did that.
It's interesting because I've been telling people for years, if you just take this out of your diet for 30 days, you'll lose somewhere between 14 to 16 pounds. And it's the truth. But one of the reasons is you can never find anything to eat because everything has milk, sugar, or gluten, or all three of them in there. My wife and I just went out for dinner last night. We were joking because it was the milk, sugar, gluten experience. I mean, we had pasta, we had pizza, and then we had ice cream. And, you know, we don't do that every day, but when we do, we certainly enjoy it. You take all that stuff out of your diet, it's almost impossible to not lose weight. This was a 30-day cleanse, no dairy, no sugar, no gluten, but it didn't stop there. It was no red meat. It was no pork. That means no bacon. It was no alcohol. It was no fun, I think, was actually on this list. That's all of the lessons. And then on the more side, it's all the good stuff, right? More water, more vegetables. more greens, more, I think the only animal protein in there was fish, maybe lean chicken was in there. And then there are all these supplements that we took more of. There's supplements three times a day. So all the rules of the game are specific. The supplements don't arrive for until day seven that we're already on this cleanse. And so my wife's infinite wisdom, Allison, says now we have to do a 37-day cleanse because, of course, we have to do it and experience the supplements. But here's the point. We can lock that in for 37 days or 30 days or 40 days or whatever it is. You go all in for that period. You commit to it with an outside program or otherwise. It could be your own self-generated program. I will do this. I will not do this as a minimum standard for this period of time, this term. And after that, after this cleanse, Tom, we go have a margarita and a pizza. We decide if we want to keep doing this thing or not. But the 37 days is locked in. So we allow that program, that commitment, that intention to deliver on what the promise of that intention actually was. If I want to build the business, I want to be unrelenting with that. I'm going to dial in X amount of outbound calls every day, no matter what, minimum standard. And you can make up what that number is. It needs to be more than what you're doing. It needs to be medium term. So you got a beginning and an end on it. And it needs to be manageable. So what's more than what you're doing? If you're an associate or an advisor listening to this right now, what's more than what you're doing right now that you can absolutely commit to? Maybe it's 30 calls a day. Maybe it's 40. Maybe it's 50. I don't know what that is, but there's a sweet spot number that you can lock into on every business day. If you really want to move the needle, you really want to grow your practice, maybe that's not the discipline. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a certain level of recommitment to continuing education for the next license. Whatever that is, there's a standard that you can dial in. There's a standard of personal development. There's a standard of professional development. There's a standard of being around mentors and advisors that can help you grow beyond your current capacity. How can you dial in something that is more manageable and medium term right now? Those are the three criteria for setting a minimum standard and going one bite at a time.
So, Doug, for our advisors that are listening to this, how can we help them accomplish it all? Can you outline the three steps to transformation?
Yeah, you know, you can't. Yeah, it's an interesting question, Tommy. We'll never accomplish it all, at least not at the same time. But I kind of stumbled into a formula where truly the promise of this book, and there's quite a few of these books that have been, several hundred of these copies of The Ripple Effect have been maneuvering through the Equitable culture. And the promise of this book is pretty profound. It's that one simple choice can change the course of your life. And so the question that you ask is how can we, I think you said something around how can we change it all? We can't change it all. And one of the mistakes that we make is trying to change too much. What I have found is that we make an empowering choice and we stick with that one simple choice. Over a period of time, that one simple choice will have impact, not just in that area, but a ripple effect, which, yes, is the name of the book, a ripple effect in every significant area of your life. And given the structure that I just gave you, setting up a personal performance standard that is more than what you're doing, manageable and medium term, with that structure, it truly is possible for this promise to be fulfilled. The three steps for that is number one is make a choice. So choose simply, choose powerfully. Choose now. It doesn't have to be the perfect choice, and it certainly doesn't have to be the forever choice. Keep in mind, it is a medium term, but we're going to stick with one simple choice every day for that medium term. And our program that we've done within the organization is called 40 Days of Focus. It's a 40-day program. You can decide what that term is for you. It could be a 90-day term. It could be 5 days a week for 6 weeks, whatever it is. You lock it in and you stick with it. If it's a personal choice, I recommend that it's every day for 40 consecutive days minimum. So positive change starts with a positive choice. Some of your listeners on this program may have not heard this great man's wisdom, a man by the name of Geddy Lee, that great Canadian philosopher. He said, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Positive change begins with one simple choice. making that choice, drawing the line in the sand and moving forward. Now, we've all had the experience of making a choice that appears not to have made a difference. And it's because of step number two. Step number two, Tom, is to stay the course. I mentioned earlier these programs. Have you heard of these programs, Tom, P90X or 75 Hard? Or there's a, our program is 40 Days of Focus, but there's a Whole 30. It's a 30-day cleanse. Have you heard of some of these programs?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, Dan.
Have you done any of them?
No, I haven't. Unfortunately, I haven't. That's my fault.
But you know what they all have in common? In addition to having a beginning and an end, you know what they have in common in between the beginning and the end?
What's that?
They have a lot of fallout. Like, most people don't make it to the end of the program. So in other words, most people don't do step number two. They don't stay the course. And this is not just external programs that we sign up for. These are our own self-prescribed programs that we sign up for. We say we're going to study for the next exam, 2 hours a night or whatever it is, and it doesn't happen. We say we're going to do a certain level of lead generation or put a certain amount of time to a different caliber of prospect, a certain amount of time networking. We carve it out. We say we're going to do it. We make the choice, and then something gets in the way. If we sign up for a 40-day program or a 30-day program or a P90X or a 66-DAT, and we quit the program, which is statistically what people do, they quit 7 to 10 days into the program, you know, I can never say the program didn't work. All I can say is I didn't allow that program to work. You've got to stay the course. I have to stay the course. That once that choice has been made, I've got to stick with it and do it when I don't feel like it, when I don't want to, when it's inconvenient, when the weather's bad, when all heck is breaking loose. I've got to find a way to do the work for the term that I said I would do it in. So step number one is to choose. Step number two is to stay the course. Most people don't even make it to step number one, much less step number two. But given step number one and step number two, the biggest difference is made in step number three. And step number three is called pay attention. Pay attention to the impact of this choice in every significant area of your life. If it's a personal choice, pay attention to its impact in your professional work. Pay attention to its impact in how you communicate. Pay attention to the ripples that it creates in every significant area of your life. One simple choice truly can change the course of your life. So number one is to choose, number two is to stay the course, and number three, most importantly, given steps one and steps two, is to pay attention. We've had people, I had an interesting situation, one of the first people that did our program, 40 Days of Focus, her commitment was 20 minutes of personal development. She was already a top producer in the insurance industry, and within 40 days had her record two-week paycheck. And her commitment was 20 minutes of personal development every day. Now, that one seems to kind of line up, but we've had other choices that just you would never put these two together. I had a young man do this program, and it doesn't have to be a program. The point is you're choosing, you're staying the course, you're paying attention. He chose to journal every day, just 20 minutes of writing in a journal every day, Tom, no matter what. So he'd get up in the morning and just write whatever he was experiencing mentally, emotionally, or otherwise. He put it on a piece of paper. He told me, I saw a picture of him a couple years later, and I noticed that he looked very different. I made a comment about it. He said he lost about 90 pounds. He was very overweight. He lost about 90 pounds. He lost 28 inches off of his waist, and it all started from making a commitment to journaling every day, staying the course, and paying attention to the impact of that choice on every area of his life. He got out of the danger zone in diabetes back to some level of manageable health, and it started from one simple choice. Talk about a ripple effect in every area of his life. His health was reclaimed, his business thrived, and it started from a commitment to journaling. I can't explain that scientifically or even psychologically, but I can explain it through this formula. When we choose powerfully, when we stay the course, and most importantly, pay attention, life changes. This all unraveled for me. It's been quite some time now. I guess it's been about, the book's been out for about 8 years. I guess it was about 10 or 11 years that this sort of unraveled for me, if you will. I was stuck in every area of my life. I was physically in the worst shape of my life, mentally and emotionally, just scattered, smothered, covered. I bought a business that I bought to make money, ended up losing a tremendous amount of money. I mean, I was just stuck, Tom, in every significant area of my life. And I made a commitment. It was one simple choice. It was to exercise every day for 30 minutes every day for, I think initially their commitment was 30 consecutive days. And at the time, I was not exercising. Exercise had been a big difference in my life earlier, but I had let it go. So I just dialed it back in. And the first 7-8 days was pretty easy. But I think it was the 8th day, I was coming back from a very long day. I was in Houston, Texas for a speaking engagement. I got back to the door of my Atlanta apartment at about 11:17 p.m. And so now if you're doing some math, I've got 43 minutes to do 30 minutes of exercise or not do it. And that little voice in my head started talking. Do you know that voice? The one that lets you off the hook?
Absolutely. I hear it every day.
And so I don't know what your voice says, but you know, usually it's something like, man, I don't feel like it. I'm too tired. I don't want to. I'm still sore. The one that almost got me was, I'm still sore from yesterday. I mean, if you're on this podcast right now, just what does that voice say to you that wants to let you off the hook? And what's that point where you just say, oh, to heck with it, I'm not going to do it. Maybe you don't use the words exactly to heck with it. But we all have that sort of pivot point where we just say, ah, forget it, I'm not going to do it. And I got up to that point, like I had so many times, and let myself off the hook. And in this case, I was able to choose a different voice. And this was 3 words that my dad would say to me when I was a kid. They're the most quoted words in the book, The Ripple Effect. And they're 3 words that I absolutely loathed as a young boy. And those words were words my dad would say when I didn't want to do the so-called character building activities of our youth. Go clean your room, do the dishes, chop some wood, eat your vegetables, whatever those things are that kids don't want to do. I'd respond by saying, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I'm too tired. I don't like vegetables. And dad would respond with these 3 words. Those words were, do it anyway. And I hated those words because there's not much rebuttal to them. And somehow those words echoed in my head at 11:44 p.m. or 11:18 p.m. And I got on the floor of this apartment. I went through some movements and motions that some people might consider to be exercise. There was nothing pretty, pleasant, or inspired about it. But at least after 30 minutes, I could say I did it. And these 3 words changed my life. These 3 words have changed a lot of people's lives because it becomes very clear that feelings are not what moves the needle in life. It's possible to do, you know, people have called me, Tom, a motivational speaker for decades now, but I think it's a misnomer. And I think motivation really, quite frankly, is overrated because it's possible to be unmotivated, to not feel like it, to not want to be uninspired, have a bad attitude, and still make a simple choice to move in a positive direction. And so that was the mantra, do it anyway. And that's continued to be the mantra. It's like, climbed out of this horrible place that I was in financially, emotionally, physically, and otherwise, and eventually got to some semblance of stability. And there's 3 little words or words that I can always come back to when I don't feel like it, when I don't want to, when I'm quote unquote too tired, when life is this and people are that. I can cut through all that crap and say, I'll do it anyway. So choose, stay the course. Pay attention. Ultimately, that paying attentionness gives us power and strength in any area of life to do the work and create life more around what we want it to be.
Doug, I mentioned the pandemic earlier and how we've had to not only adjust our daily lives, but in many cases, completely transform our behaviors to what's become the new normal. Now, this can be extremely challenging for everyone, but faced with this, how do advisors avoid burnout and fallout?
You know, I take a lot of little mini breaks. I think that one of the things that COVID has really opened up for us is the ability to connect with more people in a shorter period of time. Believe it or not, Tom, personally, I'm an introvert. So if I've got 7 or 8, sometimes 9 Zoom calls in a day, and today's actually a great example of that. I'll have 3 or 4 more today after this call. On the positive side, it can feel like we're getting a lot more done. And many times we are getting a lot more done. On the downside, it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy, particularly for introverts, to be present, to be on, if you will, to be authentic, to be fresh and sharp over and over and over again. So I take little mini breaks throughout the day. I carve my day out into 3 days. Some days I'm working 12, some days I'm working 16-hour days. So I learned this from a mentor of mine. His name is Bill Pinus, a very accomplished man in the financial world. And he carves his day out into 3 days. So he's got the first part of the day, which is, you can call it however you want it. I sometimes call it 7 a.m. to 12 a.m. What I want to accomplish in that first part of the day, second part of the day is 12 o'clock to 4 p.m. And then third part of the day is 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. So what do I want to carve out in those 3 days within a day? And this is one of the ways that people get a lot more done in the same period of time, is every day is three separate days. It follows a similar principle to the 12-week year, where each quarter, if you will, is its own unit of a year. So within packing all that into a day, or packing all that into 12 weeks, or packing all that into a month, we also need more breaks. So I take shorter breaks in between time. It could be 5 minutes, could be 10 minutes, could be meditation, could be walking outside, could be feeding my chickens. Yes, I've got chickens in my backyard. But it's just take a little mini breaks throughout the day just to restore, rejuvenate, and regenerate so that I can have that level of high focus and high productivity on those 12 and 16-hour days. And then there's times for me that I do my best, in the Brian Tracy's words, to work all the time that you work. And when I'm not working, I do my best to completely shut off. So when I'm with my wife, I do my best to completely not be working when I'm with her. When I'm with family, I do my best to completely, and I'm not perfect, sometimes it overlaps, but I do my best to let work be work. And when I'm with my wife, my friends, and my family, to put my work aside and be present. I try to remind myself every day that the most important client that I have is the one in my home, my wife. And so the best presentation, the most important presentation, the most important way to show up powerfully is how I show up for the person that I love is in my home. And so those are a couple of things that I do to avoid burning out. I work very hard. I take a lot of breaks, and I do my best to completely put work aside when I'm with those folks that I love.
That's great, Doug. And you know what? Taking everything that you've spoken about, how can we motivate ourselves? How do we put it all into action and thrive? I mean, is there a way that we can build an action plan for success and, say, double productivity in the next 40 days?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's not easy, Tom, to do that, but it comes from putting some of this into play. It's starting with what it is you want to experience more and less of. And if you like, I can send you an actual play sheet for this. I call it the more or less method. Your listeners can have it. If there's a way to distribute this, I'll send it to you. But it's very simply just getting clear on what you want more of and less of in life, and coming down to the nitty gritty of what are you willing to do more of and do less of to experience more and less of what you say that you want, but that seems a bit elusive. And then putting one thing into play. So the most important challenge I could issue is, with or without any program, with or without any accountability or support, with or without any structure, and I believe in all those things. I believe in the structure. I believe in having an external program. I believe in having the accountability. But the bottom line is, nobody can do the work for you. So it's taking one thing that you're not doing. What's one thing? What's one personal discipline? What's one professional discipline? What's one thing that I'm not doing or not doing consistently that I can absolutely commit to for the next 40 consecutive days, the next 6 business weeks, the next 9 business weeks? You get to say, you get to make it up. If you need some help creating this, I'll help you create it. Get with somebody who you respect. Let them help you create it. Get an accountability partner and carve out one uncompromised choice. Do it every day. If it's a business choice, maybe it's 5 or 6 days a week. If it's a personal choice, make it every day for whatever time period that is. More or less of what you're doing, medium term and manageable. And do the work. And pay attention to when you don't want to do it, you don't feel like it, you're too tired, but you still did it, and how that power shows up in every area of your life. I'm in that groove right now. I'm in a business building phase right now. I made a recommitment. First time I've done this in, gosh, probably decades. Like, I'm calling my commitment right now professionally is, well, I've got two commitments that are two that I'll share with our audience. On the personal side, I work out every day, 7 days a week, and I haven't done that for quite some time. Every day, 7 days a week is my commitment. On the professional side, I increase my outbound business calls to 30 outbound calls minimum every day, no matter what. And that's a 5 day a week commitment. So those are just examples. I'm not saying these are the disciplines that your listeners should do, but what I'm saying is there's always a discipline that if you line it in there and you do it and you commit to it, absolutely will move the needle in the direction of life that you want it moved in. For me, it's an hour of physical exercise every day, 30 outbound lead generation calls every business day. Those are my two of mine that I have in play right now, two of several.
Well, thanks, Doug. This has been very inspirational with some excellent information that you shared with us today. Hey, I want to thank you once again for joining us, and I know that this will be very helpful to our listeners in helping them formulate their own action plans. And I also want to thank our listeners for tuning in as well and encourage you to subscribe to the Equitable Life with Insight podcast so you don't miss an episode. Thanks again, and have a great day. Equitable is the brand name of the retirement and protection subsidiaries of Equitable Holdings Incorporated, including Equitable Financial Life Insurance Company, New York, New York, Equitable Financial Life Insurance Company of America, an Arizona stock company with main administrative headquarters in Jersey City, New Jersey, and Equitable Distributors, LLC. Equitable Advisors is the brand name of Equitable Advisors, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, Equitable Financial Advisors in Michigan and Tennessee.